Hello, everybody. My name is Sarit. I'm a researcher at the RPTU institution in Germany. So my talk, as the title says, it's about adapting Gen BSTF to do fenestration measurements. Now, BSTFs, as a term, they have been in the radiance vocabulary for a while. But mine is the first presentation today that deals with this topic, so I thought I'll steal some slides from previous presentations. So this is Greg in 2010 talking about what BSTF stands for, which is basically a way to characterize how light should scatter from a surface. And this is David from 2019 talking about the fact that BSTFs are basically a combination of BRTDS and BTDS, which are for reflectance and transmittance, respectively. So I'm aware that there are several ways in which BSTF data can be acquired, but the two most common ones that we talk about within the radiance community is either through measurement with a photoviolumeter, as we see here, or using Gen BSTF. So as per the IEA, which some of the people in this room are, the IEA subtask actually, there are two recommendations. The first is that if we have something which is a homogeneous model, like a single piece of fabric or a glazing system, you'd use a photogoniometer, a PAB2 photogoniometer actually, to do the measurements. And you generate a BSTF out of it. If you have something which is a geometric model or something that has a geometry associated with it, the recommendation is to use Gen BSTF. And what I just said is kind of apparent in the images that I have on top. So you can see that on this side we have something which has a geometric aspect to it. So what we typically do is that we define the geometric model and then use Gen BSTF to generate the BSTF for it. So for the past couple of years, my colleagues and I, we've been working on the Vipano-CLEMS project. And this CLEMS, the name is kind of an homage to the CLEMS, Joseph CLEMS, the person who came up with the CLEMS surfaces. So what we are really interested in doing is to create a testing standard for determining solar transmittance. So in the grand scheme of BSTFs, we are looking at something which is very specific, which is just transmittance. And we are actually junior project partners in the sense that we don't lead the project. The project is being led by the Fraunhofer Center for Silicon and Photovoltaic. They are based in Jena in Germany. And what they have been working on is to develop a transmittance measurement system. And the one thing to notice here is scale, that this system that they have devised is actually only half a meter by half a meter by 1 meter. Now, a standard BSTF test rig using the PAB2 meter, that will fill up a room. It will be around 6 meters by 4 meters by 4 meters. So this is something which is fairly smaller in scale, and the intention is just to measure transmittance. So I'll talk more about this system, but for now the main thing is that the sample is something that can be either a homogeneous model or it can be something which has a geometric element to it. So right here we see that the sample is actually a bunch of lamina, so something that could be used for blinds. Now, how the system works or how the measurements are being conducted is that the sample can be rotated for azimuthal directions, and the goniometer, which essentially is just something that goes back and forth, like right here. So this facilitates the vertical measurements. And since we only have 2 degrees of very limited freedom, what we are really doing is that we are not conducting measurements across an entire hemisphere. The measurements are conducted across a very limited range, which is 1/4 of a hemisphere, as the image shows here. And in all of this, the part that has been the subject of research from Fraunhofer is actually this black looking thing right here, which is the annual filter. And what the annual filter does is that it restricts the amount of radiation which is being measured through a solid angle. And why this is useful is that this makes it possible to have a smaller scale when it comes to conducting measurements like these. Because if you look at a standard goniometer, the scale is much longer, and we are talking of far field photometry. So here we are able to do the same measurements in a much smaller scale, and that comes up with its own set of disadvantages. So till now, I really haven't spoken about how any of this relates to radiance, and this is the part where radiance kind of comes into the picture. So what I was told is that we need to validate the transmittances that are being measured with radiance. And to me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, because usually you conduct a simulation and then you figure out if it's actually being able to replicate reality or not. But in this case, there is a system which is conducting measurements, and we are trying to devise a simulation which will match the measurements. And the reason for doing this is that there was no basis for us to do such a measurement, like to take a device like this, which is a set of blinds, and do a measurement in a photogoniometer. So the question for us really was, how do we do simulations with radiance where we can measure transmittance? And the most obvious answer at the time for me was to just use GenBSDF. But the one difference between the Clem spaces or the tensor tree basis versus what was being done in our project was that the angular measurements were different. So I kind of went into a GenBSDF wormhole trying to figure out what GenBSDF actually does. And this is the first part is super helpful, because Greg wrote this script in Perl, which I kind of understand. So as you see here, GenBSDF is basically calling RFlux matrix to do the ray tracing part. And RFlux matrix, as some of you know, is using our contract to actually do the ray tracing. So so GenBSDF calls RFlux matrix, and within the RFlux matrix, this file called clemsfull.cal is referenced. And clemsfull.cal sits inside the ray path directory in radiance. And if you open that up, there is the definition of the angles and how the patches are organized in the Clem spaces. So my theory or my assumption at the time was that I could just modify the clemsfull.cal and conduct these measurements for different degrees. And as you can also see that at the end, like right here in this code snippet of RFlux matrix, what this angle basis or what these angles are really doing is that they are identifying the regions within the hemisphere from where the rays will be counted. So my theory was that I could just use this and do the measurements for transmittance that we were required to do on this project. So I'm calling this attempt one, adapting GenBSDF attempt one. And what it really was that I thought I could just modify the clemsfull.cal file and just run measurements again, and I have the transmittances that I want. So this here on the left side of me is the schematic for what GenBSDF is. This is a very, very simplistic schematic, but essentially the idea is that you have a sample and you have a surface from which you're shooting rays. And this is also one of the reasons that sometimes GenBSDF will complain if your model is within zero or not, whether it's at the right position or not. So anything that is traced upwards and caught by this hemisphere is characterized as transmittance. And that transmittance is then divided into different bins, and that's how we have the Clem's patches. And anything that is not captured by the upper hemisphere is captured by the lower hemisphere, and that is called reflectance. So it's essentially all the rays which are intercepted by the sample and sent back, those would be reflectance. So I thought I could just do this, that I could just modify the calc file and I run them through CF, and then I get the values for this quadrant hemisphere and also this region alone, and I have my transmittances. And that is kind of when reality hit. And so what I came to realize is that the parallel source, so this is the light source here, this parallel source that Fraunhofer was using was actually not perfectly parallel. And what it has is a slight angular divergence. So why this matters is that when we say that we are tracing rays in this standard direction, in this normal direction, what's really happening is that the rays are kind of scattering at a 2-degree angle. And this is roughly following a Gaussian distribution, which means that most of the rays are still normal, but some of the rays, they do scatter. The other issue was that this angle filter, which helps us in reducing the scattering and make these somewhat precise measurements, that has a sensitivity. So all this would compare is that in the geometry that Greg is using in GenBSDF, essentially if you trace a ray to a single point, you measure the energy that is being caught. But what we are getting instead is that we get a divergence that you see here, right here, like this whole curve, and I'll explain the implication of this, but for now, the point was that if rays which are being sent from this parallel source, which is not really parallel, is being caught by this surface here, we were not counting the energy in a precise manner. So, so there were two implications of what I just described. The first was that, let's say you don't have a sample and you just have air, and you shoot a ray using whatever setup that we have in GenBSDF. So if you shoot a ray in the normal direction, you would catch 100% of the energy because nothing is being stopped. But in the setup that we have, in the practical setup that we have, if you try shooting a ray in the normal direction, the first thing that happens is that the rays are actually diverging out. And the other thing is that this detection surface that we have, it is also having a sensitivity, as I explained with that small part of work. So what would happen then is that for a normal incidence, you are not actually catching 100% of the energy, even though you don't have anything stopping the light. So at normal incidence, you would have a transmittance of 100% with NBSDF, and we'd have something which is less than 100%. Now the other thing is, let's say you still have normal incidence, but you're conducting a measurement which is not at the value of theta and phi equaling zero, meaning you have a slightly divergent measurement. In this case, since we have a normal ray with the GenBSDF, it essentially won't count it in that specific region. Now I know that Clem's patches by themselves are average, so this probably is not a really good example because I'm talking about 2.5 degrees, so maybe it's still caught by the Clem's patch. But the basic theory is that anything that is in normal direction, which is being counted exactly on top of it, won't be counted in GenBSDF. But we have a scenario where our transmittance would still be higher. So when it's supposed to be 100%, we count less than 100%. And when it's supposed to be 0%, we count more than 0%. So then what I tried doing was to create my own Kuhrmann's version of GenBSDF. So that was attempt two. And it's actually really, really simple in terms of what it's trying to do. So all that we have going on is we have R contrib, which is tracing rays through a sample. And these rays are caught by this detector filter. And that's the extent of it. Now, what we had to do though was we had to model something which was going to take into account that we have a divergent light source and that this angle filter, this thing that is detecting the light, is also having an angular sensitivity. So we did this in two steps. The first was that we model the detector that we have using a bunch of glow and source materials, or rather glow materials and source surfaces. And that's what you see here with these concentric rings. So the sensitivity is modeled in a way that at the center of this ring is where the sensitivity is the most. And as we start going outwards, the sensitivity starts decreasing. And this follows the same logic that they have, Fraunhofer has, for characterizing their angle filter. And the other thing that I did was I modeled the rays, which are starting from this sending surface, in a way that every ray origin, which is every point, actually is originating a bunch of rays in different directions. And these directions are again characterized by the angle sensitivity that we have for the light source. So putting all of this together, putting this entire process together, the way we calculate transmittance is that we run Archon trip and we send out the results to a bunch of files, and then we average, first we combine and then we average the results together. So here is a somewhat incorrect equation to explain this. I didn't want to get too much into the math of it, but the basic idea is that for each of these rings, we write out a file, and then we combine all these files together and divide it by the number of rays, and we have transmittance. Now, the one thing which is worth pointing out here is that you can see the numbers, that the numbers which pertain to the first one, the first ring, they are higher, and the numbers which pertain to the next ring, they are lower, and this is because the energy that is being captured by our contrib starts decreasing as the rings start spreading out. So once we were done with this whole process, we started comparing the results that Fraunhofer was measuring and what we were simulating. So the first measurement was done with no sample. So this is kind of a calibration in the sense that we are trying to figure out what was the error in our setup, and did this correspond to what Fraunhofer had in their practical setup. So that's where this correction factor comes in. So what really happens is that if you're trying to measure air at normal incidence, you should be measuring 100%, and that's kind of what we did. And then we use the same correction factor for all the other calculations. So the first one, as I said, is air, and the next one is specular glass. So these two are fairly simple setups, and I don't foresee anybody using that measurement setup that Fraunhofer devised to measure specular glass, because there are better ways to do this. But what was interesting is once we started looking at physical samples, samples which have a geometrical aspect to it. So right here we have lamellar blinds. So you can see these small images in the bottom. And the way they conducted the measurements and the way we conducted the simulations was, right now it's still all prototypical. So they had one measurement where they had the blinds at 0 degrees, and in another case they just twisted, they turned the sample rather. So you can see that there is fairly good agreement, and unfortunately these results are very fresh. So I didn't get the numerical data from Fraunhofer to do a proper plot. So what you see is kind of an eyeballing thing. But you can see that it's around 40% for us, and the drop is also following the same structure that Fraunhofer has in their results. Now, this one is slightly more interesting because here it's a mirror material, and what happens in this case is that some rays which are shot, they just pass through, and there are some which are reflected. So you can see that there is this peak that we get around 40 degrees and around 29, and this corresponds to the 71% transmittance that we have here. For Fraunhofer, the results, their measured results, we see that there is a peak at around 35 degrees, and their value of the peak is actually lower. And so this was something that they acknowledged as issues with how their setup was, how their measurement setup was. And so there are two reasons why our results are not somewhat in agreement right now. So one of them is that the peak that we have at 40%, or rather at 40 degrees, is different for them because they say that their sample is twisting when they start rotating it. And the other issue is that, I mean, they have a practical setup, so of course they will run into practical problems, and I am in the radiant scheme of things where everything just works magically. So they have another issue that light scatters and light is not being completely distributed properly. So that's why they have a peak at 10%. But what happened last night is that I again got a set of results from offer, and now our simulated results and their measurements are more in agreement. So we hope to work on this on both ends. So the simulation model that I have right now is fairly preliminary. In fact, I just got it to work like a week ago. And the same thing with their measurement setup, that it's fairly new also. So the idea now is to make improvements and also to conduct measurements with more samples. And eventually all of this will go into a standard, which is the PowDAE EE2068 that you see there. And that was my presentation. Thank you.